God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amen. The Word of God says, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew or Gentile. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that come by Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Brother Charles Turner, would you listen to a word of prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I want to preach a little while this morning on all the same. All the same. Now lay aside everything else that's going on in your life today. Lay aside the things in your life that causes you to have stress, that causes you to lose focus of God. And for just a little while, let's focus on God today. Amen? First of all, think about this. Thank God for His goodness towards us today. Amen? Thank God for that goodness. That goodness that goes beyond any shadow of imagination that we can have. How good God is to us today, how good God has been to us in the past, and how good God is going to be to us in the future. Thank God for that. Also, thanks be to God for never giving up on us. Amen? Thanks be to God for never giving up on us. Boy, I'm glad that's true today, aren't you? Because there was a lot of times in my life God could have given up on me, like other people in my life have done before, but God has never given up on me. Also, thanks be to God today for His saving grace. Amen? Where would we be without that? Where would we be in our life today without the saving grace of God? We all sin, so we're all the same. And we're only being able to change in our life and become like Christ when God puts that saving grace in our hearts and in our lives. Thanks be to God today, even though we've sinned, He still loves us. Thanks be to God today, even though we have sinned, He still loves us. And thanks be to God today that He never gives up on us, because we're just simply sinners saved by what? By grace. Sinners saved by grace. Just because we are saved doesn't mean that the temptation of sin goes away, does it? All of a sudden, when we turn our heart and life over to Christ, we don't say that sin is never going to enter our lives ever again, that sin is not going to be a part of our lives. Actually, oh, Satan, when you're saved, try to turn up the heat just a little bit more on that sin button, doesn't he? Because he don't want you to be a successful Christian. He don't want you to live a life that's pleasing in the eyes of God. He wants to put up every roadblock there is and tempt you with every sin that you can imagine in your life. And believe it or not, Christians allow sin to come into their lives, don't they? Christians allow the old devil to put things in your heart, in your life, that tempts you and causes you to lose sight of that glory of God. Any of the rest of you ever been tempted before? I'm the only one. Me and Mary, a few back there. We've all been tempted, haven't we? And the devil knows exactly what to tempt you with. And he knows exactly what to tempt you with that causes you to have sin, doesn't he? He knows what to tempt you with and causes you to have those sins in your life. Over the years, society has decided to change the definition of sin, haven't they? The society just says, do whatever feels good. Do whatever feels good. Don't worry about the consequences. Just do whatever you think. Do whatever you want to do. Speak your mind. Don't ask any questions. Nobody's going to know. It's okay. We've sort of, even inside of some churches today, haven't we? We've lost focus on what God wants us to have. I believe church is about people coming together to worship God and to make sure that His word goes out to anybody that's lost to turn their heart and life over to Christ. But we've lost that, haven't we? Amen. In a lot of churches, anything goes. Do whatever you want. Act however you want. Say whatever you want. Do whatever you want. But I believe when God looks down, He says to us, truly, the definition of sin in the days when Jesus walked on the face of this earth is the same definition that it is when? Today. Exactly the same. It's not changed. So this morning, how do you define sin? If you've been coming to church for a long time, you've heard a lot about it, haven't you? You've heard about that three-letter word, sin, in their life. Over in Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 3, it says, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time you have a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will clearly be to remove the speck from your brother's eye." We get stuck on some hot topic sins, don't we? Let me clarify just a couple of things before I go too far. I want to make sure that I read them exactly the way I've got them. Your preacher believes we are born male or female, and that does not change over time. Amen? Amen. Boy, that's a hot topic, isn't it? And anybody would say, "Preacher, that's a sin. Those people don't need to be living like that. Those people don't need to be taking on that mentality." And we would speak loud and we'd speak proud about it. Well, your preacher believes that. And Bethlehem believes that. We also, yes, your preacher believes that a man should marry a woman and a woman should marry a man. Amen?
Amen.
That's a hot topic, isn't it? And everybody would say, "Brother Paul, that's a sin." Oh, yeah, it is. Nobody here at the church is going to disagree with me. They all say, "Yes, Brother Paul, that's the truth. You preacher, that's the truth, and that's exactly right." We also agree, and your preacher agrees, that a man should dress like a man. And a woman should dress like what? A woman. Those are hot topic sins, aren't they? And a lot of people say, "Well, Brother Paul, that's what we need to be thinking about, sin today, and that's what sin looks like." And a lot of times as Christians, we just get stuck there, don't we? But you know what? There's more sins than that, aren't there? Those are the hot topic sins. And a lot, you ask most people, you'd say to people, "What do you think sin is?" Well, them men marry men, that's sin. And women marry women, that's sin. And all those types of things. But there's more than just that, aren't there? We know that God sort of gave us a roadmap of what the definition of sin is all about. And we forget that God has told us exactly what sin looks like. You have heard it said before, sin is sin. My mama would define it this way: "Paul Edward, you know better." I ain't going to call all of your names today. Guess what? You know better, don't you? And you allow those sins to come into your life. And has there ever been a time when sin brought anything good to your life? No. Sin just opens up those bad things in your life, doesn't it? It is so easy for us to look at everybody else's sins, isn't it? We can just pick it out. We can see that sawdust in everybody else's eyes. And we go around and we whisper, "Did you see what they did? Do you see the way they're acting? Can you believe what they did?" What in the world? This is a great famous statement. What in the world were they thinking? You know better than that. But the scripture says that we read this morning, we've all, what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So when you're looking in the sawdust of somebody else, you need to be looking at the plank in your own eye, right? What sin is there? What sin have you had in your life? Maybe it's new, maybe it's old, maybe it's been there for a long time. But that sin that is in your life. God says, "If you love me, keep my commandments. If you love me, keep my commandments." I've already brought this up to the deacons. I've already got it passed and all those type of things. But when our baptistry, praise be to God, it's going to be there someday. Amen? When our baptistry gets there, Right behind it, guess what's going to be on the wall? The Ten Commandments in big, bold letters. So you can see them every Sunday morning. Because when we're talking about how to define sin, and why I gave you the big hot topic sins, didn't I? And you know, everybody was saying amen, go get it, preacher, you're right on it. That's exactly what sin is all about. Well, you know what? The Bible tells us there's some other things that you need to be doing as a Christian. There's some other things that you need to be doing as a Christian, and these things can drift you and cause you to drift away from God if you're not listening to God. BJ's got them up here for us this morning. You should not have any other gods before me. You shall have no idols. Hey, preacher, I'd say today, who's your God? Well, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And here at the church, we believe in the Holy Trinity, don't we? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe that. We say that. And you'd say, Brother Paul, I don't have any other gods. I don't have any. I don't worship anywhere else. I don't go down to some other temple. I don't go worship any idols. I don't know about any of the rest of you. I don't have a golden calf out in my front yard I worship, right? You don't. You come to church to worship, don't you? So you would say, Brother Paul, that's not a sin for me. I don't have any other idols. I don't have any. Well, we need to think about any other gods before me. Because I've always believed that definition is anything that comes before God in your life. Amen? Anything that comes before God in your life. And I can take on a lot of different shapes and sizes, can't it? A lot of people stand up here, talk about money. Well, that can happen. A lot of people talk about jobs. That can happen. A lot of people can talk about other things in family. But basically, when you're thinking about the sin here in this Ten Commandments is this. What stands between you and God? What is something in your life that's more important to you than God? Well, that's a big searching engine there, isn't it? What comes between me and God? Also, it says, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Uh-oh, preacher. Do we hear that very often? Sort of hurts you down in your soul, doesn't it? I believe that when you love God, you talk good about Him, don't you? And you talk about how good He is to me. I knew growing up, there were certain things I didn't say to my mama. Amen? There were some things you just didn't say to your daddy. And there were certain things that you said to your mom and dad, as my mom used to say, those little dirty words. Some of those little dirty words would get me in big trouble at home. Big trouble. And my mom would always look at me and say, honey, why would you say that when you love your mama? Why would you say that when you love your daddy? Why would you say that? Well, folks, I want to tell you something today. We love God and being a Christian. Amen? We should have honor and glory towards Him and give Him our all. Also, it says, keep the Sabbath day holy. A lot of Christians forgot about that, haven't they? Sometimes Sunday morning worship is an afterthought, isn't it? An afterthought. If there's nothing else going on, we can always go where? Go to church. If there's nothing else going on, we can always go to church. But the scripture, and we hear in the Ten Commandments, says for us to keep that Sabbath day holy, to rest and know about God. Also, honor your father and mother. We need to do a better job of that in the world today, don't we? To honor our mother and our father. You should not murder. You should not commit. What's that say? Commit adultery. Oh, my goodness. You're not supposed to commit adultery. You should not steal. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does that mean? Y'all don't do any of this over in Monroe County. We do this in Metcalf County. You're not supposed to gossip about anybody, are you? You're not supposed to talk down about anybody. You're not supposed to do any of those type of things. I was sent a video this past week from one of my workers that I had in my office, and it was two clients that we had, and One of them showed up at the other one's house, and I've never seen such a fight in my entire mortal life. And it was so scary to think about how this started. Where did it come from? You know what it started from, I found out? From a Facebook post. Y'all believe that? From a Facebook post. You're not supposed to have any of those false witnesses against your neighbor. You shall not. Now, this doesn't go on in the world at all, does it? You shall not covet. You should not covet. I always thought covet means you don't look at anybody else. You're proud that they got it. You're proud that they received it. But it doesn't cause you a burning sensation in your soul, does it? It doesn't cause you to go do something you shouldn't be doing to be able to have those things. Well, preacher, that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? That's how we're supposed to live our life. Yes. The hot topic sins? Oh, yes. And you're going to hear it preached. And that's the way we teach here at the church. We believe all those things. But we also believe, we're all in this together, right? That God expects us to keep what? Those right there. Those things in our life. Well, what do we do with them? What do we do with our sins? Because we all know we've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And we also know it's not a good thing to walk around with sin, is it? Not good to have that sin in your life. It's not good to harbor on those sins in your life. It's not good to live a life full of sins. What do we do? Over in James 4:17 it says, if anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. Do you still hear that still small voice of Jesus? I do. Jesus all the time tells me what's right and what's wrong. And he shares with me how I'm supposed to live my life. It's telling me you should do this or you should not do that. But so often we don't listen. Many times when the sin we know we have done, we don't do anything about it. It's got better over time, but when I first had my surgery, this hand over here, it wouldn't stop shaking. It's a little better. Any rest of you had shaking hand syndrome before? I have. And what that shaking hand does for you is it causes you to spill a lot of things. Charles and Nick knows this is true. I've got a little better, but when they used to bring my communion cup up to me, it looked like this, didn't it? It just shook all over the place trying to get it over here. And I usually set it over here. I've learned my lesson to take two hands. But, you know, even if you're very careful every once in a while, you spill things on yourself. Any of the rest of you ever been like that? Your hand don't have to be shaking to spill things on yourself, does it? It just happens. And if you spill something on your shirt, my wife, I love her to death, but she could be 5 miles away from me and I spill something on my shirt and she knows I did it. Any of the rest of y'all like that? She got her eye on me and she knows exactly when I spill it and she's exactly on it. And you can't hide things that you spill on your shirt, can you? And you want to do something, or my wife tells you you have to do this. I guess you have to. You want to clean that up before you next time you wear it, don't you? You don't want to go back out with grape juice on your shirt or something else, soft drink on your shirt. You don't want any of those type of things. You wash it. Well, somehow, my wife knows how to clean those messes. And I've had shirts in my life before, and I spill things on there, and these are some famous words that I've said many times. That's never going to come out. I just want to throw it away. It's overdone with. It's done. It's over with. And somehow Sheila puts it in the wash machine, sprays something on there. I go in there, and it's all gone. Well, praise be to God for that. Amen? Because if not, half my wardrobe would be in the trash can. But Sheila's had to wash all of those things away and makes it look nice and shiny and pretty. You can't hide those things. Well, one of the things we have to realize also is we can't hide our sins, can we? Can't do it. Can you imagine if we all came to church on Sunday morning? Everybody would be getting their spectacles out to read everything, wouldn't they? If you came to church every Sunday morning and you had your sins written all over your shirt, what would it look like? It'd be a lot of them, wouldn't it? Be a lot of things. A lot of things you'd be walking around like this. No, you can't see that side. No, they can't see over here. No, don't want you to see all. You have all of that on you. Well, preacher, what do I do? Well, I figured out one thing about sin in my life. Hopefully it's true for you as well. Sin weighs you down, doesn't it? Sin causes you a lot of stress. Sin causes you a lot of anxiety. Sin causes you to talk to your spouse in a way you shouldn't. Sin causes you to speak to your kids in a way that you shouldn't. Sin causes your actions to be actions you shouldn't take. There's nothing good about those sins in your life. Praise be to God today. You don't need a washing machine to get rid of your sins, do you? You don't need some special spray. You don't need something else. You don't have to rub it. You don't have to do any of those type of things. Because you know something? I can't see your sins today. But are you ready for this? God does. God knows what all those sins are in your life. And God, praise be to God, God's got the stuff to get the stain out, doesn't he? And all we have to do, what do I do with my sins? Well, first thing, you want to get rid of those sins in your life. All you have to do is turn them over to God. And you know something? Whether it's big or it's small, no matter what they are, God forgives them all, doesn't he? Your sins, and I've heard it and you've sung it before, your sins are washed white as snow. So, how do we show others the way to salvation? Over in Luke 24, 48, it says, you are a witness of these things. I believe we need to be, we're going to talk a little bit about this next Sunday at Sunday school, I believe that we need to be a witness inside of the church. Amen? What does that mean? I believe Christians should act like Christians at church. Amen? I believe Christians should talk like Christians at church. And I believe, as we do here at Bethlehem and beyond any shadow of doubt, I believe it's through God's love, is we address things inside of the church with the love of God. We witness to each other. As Christians, we have to realize when we are witnessing here at the church, we are showing new Christians what being a Christian is all about. But I believe you not only need to be a Christian showing others how to live a sinless life inside of the church, I believe you have to take it out there too, don't you? Amen. To show others. So let me ask you this question today. It's a personal question. So you pray on it and you think about it to yourself. Who do you know today that if you got a phone call that said they're no longer here with us, that they have breathed their last breath, and you got that call, who do you know today that you would say these words? Well, I wonder if they were a Christian. Well, I wonder if they were a Christian. Boy, that's a big weight, isn't it? Today, who do you know? Who do you need to talk to today and say, you know what? I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. I just want to make sure that we, our number one goal as Christians, we all want to make sure that we're in heaven someday. Amen? Who do you need to talk to? Who do you need to share the love of God with? We're all in this together. When we leave this place today, people are going to go all kinds of directions. It's just amazing to me how that we got Bethlehem Church right here in Mount Hermon. Isn't that something? And all people come from every direction, don't they? We go down the end of the road, there's going to be some people turning left, there's going to be some people turning the right. We got out here, going to be some of you going this way, you're going to go a little while, and you're going to turn left, and we all go to our own homes. Well, praise be to God, someday we're going to the same home. It's called heaven, right? Today, if you've not turned your heart and life over to Christ, we want to give you that chance. You might say, well, preacher, I've got sin. That's okay. We all, what, have sinned. We all have made that choice. You might say, well, Brother Paul, What does it mean to be a Christian? It means that I'm going to turn my heart and my life over to Christ, and I'm going to ask Him to deliver me from my sins. Maybe you say, preacher, I've already done that. Well, here's the question. We talked about it today. Talked about the hot topic sins that are out there. We also talked about the Ten Commandments. What sins do you have in your life today that you need to lay down at the feet of Jesus? It's simple and easy. All you have to do today is you can pray here, you can pray where you are, wherever you feel that need to pray. Jesus, just forgive me of that sin that I have done in my life. Forgive me of what I've done. And help me to be able to be a stronger Christian every day. We're all the same. All working towards that place called heaven. All we have to do is listen to Him and do His will. Listen to Him this morning. We have our closing song. Do you want to learn?